Amen, amen, amen. God is good, yes? Yes. You had a good week? Yes. Lord working miracles in your life and for you, and the testimony this morning, that was so awesome, so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to share with you where the Lord has had me for the last several months. So this is His message to us. I'm convinced of that. You know, I am not satisfied about where I am. Are you? I want more. I know there is so much more. There's so much more available through the Lord God that our Father desires for us to experience and walk in. I want more. And I believe this message that He's, because I've been crying out for that, I believe this message is for all of us because we all want more. Yes? Yes. Lord, we want more. Let's say that. Lord, we want more. We want more of You, more of Your love. We want more, Lord. Show us, teach us, lead us, guide us, whatever it takes. Amen? Whatever it takes. You sure? Yes. All right. Amen. Let's do it. Now, there's some verses in the Scripture that have always been very, very challenging to me, and because it makes me realize where I really fall short. It speaks of the area of where I want more. And that's that we all become sons and daughters with more power. And that scripture, background verses is, first of all, 1 Corinthians 4:20. See if this verse does for you what it does for me. The kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power. Every time I have read that for years, I have thought, oh my goodness, I've got the words, but where is the power? That's where I'm not satisfied. The Word of God says there's more. I want more. I want to see more of the power of His love flowing through my life to touching the lives of other people. And that's what it's all about. That's why we are here on this earth, for that love to flow through us. Like Paul said, my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration, demonstrating the Spirit and the power. So that, why? So that your faith would not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's where real faith, real commitment comes from. Not moving words, not convincing, but people seeing the power of God. And we hear testimonies like this morning, and we hear testimonies from all over the world of people who have dreams, visions, God appearing to them, and they're coming to a strong faith and belief, changing their religions because of what the Lord spoke to them. More people will come to faith by seeing the signs, wonders, dreams, visions, healings than through any argument or debate. So, our verse then is Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Concerning His Son, who was declared, we all need this declaration, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is declared to be and has the testimony and the proof that He is the Son of God. He healed the sick, sight to the blind, He raised the dead, He cast out demons, calmed the wind, walked on water, multiplied food, turned water into wine, and was raised from the dead. And all of those things can also flow through our life. We also are either children of God, that means immature, or sons of God, that means mature. Right? And the Lord's been speaking, at least to me, and I think to all of us, even through David's messages, He is wanting us to grow up, to become mature sons and daughters of the Lord. In Galatians 3:26, awesome verse, for you are all sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power. We also are sons of God through our faith, belief in Jesus Christ, and that same power should be through us now. He's in heaven praying for us, to intercede for us, causing all things to work in our life. And now we are on this earth, and Jesus said, as the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. And with the same power, same holy life, same characteristics, the same glow of the presence of the Lord upon our life. It said sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And again, I want to point out that word sons is not speaking of gender. It's speaking of maturity. When we believe and have faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes within us. And at that point, we are born again. And at that point, all, male and female, are considered sons or mature ones. Most places in the New Testament, sons is speaking of gender and not maturity. So, why at this point are we considered mature when we're born again, when the Holy Spirit comes into us? Because it said, sons of God by faith. So when we're born again, we have become, should be, a mature person. And that's because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God and of Jesus Christ is now within us to teach us, to lead us, to show us the things of God. So we have no excuse to remain babes unless we are quenching the Holy Spirit. Amen? True? Living in the wilderness, going around the same mountain time and time again, I've enough of that. I'm ready to enter that promised land, so to speak, where God does awesome miracles and wonders, and there's a land of milk and honey, and that's where He wants us. We should all have the same testimony in our life that we declare that we are sons and daughters with power. We can declare that right now, but along with, you know, the Lord says He calls the things that are not as though they were. I am a son of God with power. And I'm going to see more and more of it. What are you? Yes. You know, you should, Job 22, you should declare a thing and it shall be established. Let's start declaring it. Every morning when I get up, I am a son of God with power. The Holy Spirit of God is in me. Jesus sent me in His place. Let's go out into the world and see miracles and things change. So we ask, how can this be? How can I be a son of God or a daughter of God with power? And it's all about who is in you. Amen? Who is in you? So, take a little run through John chapter 14. Verse 8, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus said, Philip, have I been with you so long and you've not known me? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Now we can say, I think we can safely say, should be able to say, he who has seen me has seen Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome? To be able to truthfully say that? He that has seen me has seen Jesus. He's in me, wants to live his life through me. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? I want you to do something as we go through these verses in John chapter 14. I want you to count the number of times that Jesus says, believe. Will you do that? And let's see where we end up. He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Yes, Lord, we believe. Jesus is in the Father is in Jesus, and in the Holy Spirit, the three are one. It speaks clearly of the Trinity of God. Our minds, natural minds, cannot get around that and understand that, but it is a spiritual truth. John 14, 20. In that day, and according to verse 18 now, back up a couple of verses from verse 20, in that day, and he's speaking of that day is when we were born again. In that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. You will know that I am in the Father, you are in me, in Jesus, and I am in you. Oh my goodness, that'll blow your mind trying to understand that with this thing, right? But it is a spiritual truth. There's no way we can comprehend it. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man, the natural mind, does not understand the things of the Spirit of God because they're spiritually discerned. So don't try to understand it with your mind. Just believe it. Amen? Just believe it. We must believe this entirely without no doubt, that we are in Jesus and Jesus is in the Father. Therefore, we are in the Father and Jesus is in us. How awesome is that? Are you equipped or what? You're equipped for all things. Therefore, read it with me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen, amen. For nothing will be impossible with God. And where is he? He's in me. You can say the same thing. Nothing is impossible. God is in me. And for it is God who's at work in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's what he wants, to manifest his love through signs, wonders, miracles, and healings through this world. So, John 14:23. Count the words, believe. Are you helping me? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There's a good one. There's a challenge, isn't it? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, Jesus and the Father, will come to him and make our abode, which literally means resident or mansion, within him. When we love him, when we keep his word, they make their home in us. We become the residence, the house where the Lord God Almighty lives. And this is who you were created to be. The temple of the Most High God. God dwelling in you. The temple of the Most High. In the Old Testament, the Lord God dwelt in the temple. New Testament, where does he dwell? In us. Say, in me. Make it personal. That's what we've really got to do. We've got to make this truth personal. He is in me. And when I really believe that, nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me from, I'm a little embarrassed to pray right here in the middle of Walmart. Nothing will stop us. We'll have that boldness to do what is before us to do. Amen. Amen. Next. So, Jesus asks us a good question. John 14:10. Do you not believe? To what degree do I believe? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative. This is Jesus speaking, but the Father living in me. Jesus saying the Father living in me, he does his works. So with the Holy Spirit of the Lord God Almighty in us makes it possible that the words we speak are not from our own initiative, but coming from him. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Speaking peace in Jesus' name. Declaring the word of God. Not on our own initiative. Trust it that it's coming from him in us, speaking through us. The Father abiding in us does his works or wants to do his works in and through us. How desperately he wants to manifest to the world the power of his love through you. For it is God who's at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. John 14:11. Believe me. Jesus is still begging us. Believe me. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe me because of the works themselves. See, saints, when we really believe and we begin to manifest to the world we live in, the power of God, others will believe because of the works that just happened through you. The miracle that just happened through you. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Yes. Oh, that's exciting, saints. To grab it, to get a hold of, to really believe who is in me, therefore I can do all things. Amen, amen. And it's him working in me, both the will, having the will to do it, and the desire to do it for his good pleasure. So be a believer. The signs and wonders or the works are very important in bringing a person to believe in Jesus. Arguments and debates rarely ever do. Amen? Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. How did he send Jesus? With the Holy Spirit of God Almighty in Jesus, in us, to prove that we are sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty with power to bring glory to his name through seeing the power of God flow through and out of our life, bringing healing and deliverance and miracles to people around us. John 14, 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, you will do also. Believe it, saints. Believe it. See it. Go. Just try it. See if it doesn't happen. Turn the Lord loose. Let him flow through us. Truly, truly, begging. Believe me. This is true. This is true. He who believes in me, we believe in you, Lord. So the works that I do, Jesus says, you will do also. No doubt about it. Period. Signed, sealed, delivered. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, when I read that the other day, whatever you ask in my name, it made me think of John 15, 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. So it's where we live. Where are we living? Are we abiding in him? Are we abiding more with the ways of the world? We live in the world, but we're not of the world. Where are we getting most of our direction, most of our input, most of our thinking? From the Word of God or from the world? But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, live in you, find a dwelling, a home in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, before you go, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Promise. This promise to you and your children. Can't quite quote the verse there in Joel. To all those that are far off. Verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit, power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall be my witnesses with power. He wants it. I want it. You? Lord, we want it. We want the power, your power in our life to bring glory and honor, to declare who Jesus Christ is and who God our Father is. We want it. The power of the Holy Spirit is necessary to be his witnesses, and that's what we are. So, next slide, develop the mental picture. Develop the mental picture. Saints, this is where I think I'm trying to understand how to make this work in my life, and I think this is the key. To develop the mental picture up here, using my imagination. Someone said, Katie was reading the other day of a Bible teacher and made this statement, our imagination is the connection between our mind and our spirit. So, and you know, he made this statement, you know, everything that we see, just take the light bulbs, everything around us, everything that man has come up with, first began in someone's imagination. Imagination is powerful. So I think this is the key for how to put this power into our life through believing it, is if we're able to imagine it first, the things which are not seen, calling them as if they are seen. We don't see it. We don't see that healing right now, but I am imagining it. I'm seeing Jesus flowing through me, bringing that healing. Use your imagination. I believe that's a key. What do you think? You know, I don't know a lot about imagination, and I hope there's not anything that I'm seeing that wrong, but I feel like that's right. Somehow or another, I just feel like that the imagination, seeing what we want to see, in our imagination and not giving up. The light bulb, Thomas Edison didn't give up. How many times? Was it thousands? I don't know, but it's a large number. Never giving up. I mean, just because it didn't happen the first time, Continue to see it in your imagination. If you can see it, you can believe it, you can do it. And that's the way Thomas Edison brought about that. So let's bring light into people's life by through our imagination, believing it, seeing the anointing of the Holy Spirit coming down upon you, and that God the Father Almighty and the Lord Jesus Christ are in you in the person of the Holy Spirit, so that each day your life may declare that you are a son or daughter of the Lord God Almighty with power. Let's see it. Whatever we want, let's let our imagination loose. God will direct our imagination. The Holy Spirit, He will show us through our imagination what He wants done. And I believe it will totally change our lives. And if ever this world is needing to see lives changed, seeing people manifesting the life of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, which cares and concerns about the demon possessions and the things that people are doing that they're in bondage to and the illnesses and sickness. Jesus wants to set the captives free. And He's looking to you and me. He is at the right hand of the Father waiting until His enemies are made a footstool for His feet. And He's looking to you and to me, to us, to bring this about. And therefore, in that situation, next verse, Cody, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. I can live victoriously over sin, over all addictions, over all the desires and lusts of the flesh, and I will see miracles and healings. Imagine it, declare what you imagine, seeing your freedom, seeing your victory, and just keep standing on it, declare it, whatsoever a man says shall be established. Changes our life and will change the lives of people around us. God is for me, so who can stand against me? Greater is He that's in me than anything, anyone that's in the world. No weapon that is formed against me will prosper. And in all of these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. That's not past tense. It says who loved us, Romans 8. Who loves us. Let's make it present tense, right? Who loves us. That's more correct. And be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. We're all through the Scriptures. He begs us, be strong. He gives us these verses. Believe me. Did you count how many times beliefs showed up? How many? Six? Anybody? Five? Seven? The more the merrier, yes. Amen, 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 amen. Okay, this verse, 1 Corinthians 1, should encourage us. It should encourage us. Consider, how are we doing? We're doing fine. Consider your calling. God has called you. You have a calling on your life. God has a purpose for your life. God has a special ministry for your life. Where you are right now and for tomorrow and for the days to come. Things to change and things to go. Consider your calling, because there's not many wise according to the flesh. I qualify. Anybody else? Matter of fact, it's not this wisdom. This gets in the way. Not many mighty. I qualify. Do you? Hello? Talk to me. Not many noble. I qualify. Hallelujah. You qualify. For God has chosen the weak. Where am I? But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. I qualify. Any more fools in here for Jesus? Any fools in here for Jesus? Yes. To shame the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. Use the example of Moses. Committed murder. He thought he was through. He was hiding in the desert. He had given up. God called him. And God has called you. Jeremiah. I'm just a youth. I'm too young. I don't know. Who am I? He qualified just because he was youth. Every youth. The children in children's church. We all qualify. Gideon. Thought he was so totally insignificant. His family was nothing and he was nothing. He qualified. And if God can use those type of people, He certainly can use any and will use and is looking to use, would greatly desire to use little old you and me. Amen. 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 So, next verse. Next slide, Cody. So it's not by your ability nor by your strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Quit worrying about who you are, what people might think, because it's not about you. It's not by about your ability or your strength, but it's by his spirit, the spirit of God who moves mountains and changes things. Another truth, 1 Corinthians 1:6, the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you. You have confessed, I am a believer of Jesus Christ. So that if you have done that, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Hello? Don't say, oh, I don't have that gift. Yes, you do. If Jesus is in you, you've got them all. You've got them all. So expect to use them all. Let's use them all. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought himself to walk in the same manner as Jesus walked. Motivated by love. Love is my motivation for Jesus Christ and for the people he died for. Love is my motivation, and you will heal the sick and the lepers, sight to the blind, you'll raise the dead, you'll stop the wind, turn water to wine, multiply the bread and the fishes. So, beloved, 26, Cody, expect to see miracles every day of your life. Amen? Let's say that together. I expect to see miracles every day of my life. Look for opportunities to declare that you are a son or a daughter with power for the glory of God your Father and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Use your imagination to see the Holy Spirit of God the Father and Jesus Christ living in you, dwelling in you, before you get out of bed in the morning or when you have that early morning quiet time. Focus on that. Who is in you? And just declare it out loud. Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God Almighty is in me. I'm ready to go. I expect to see miracles today. I expect to bless people today, to meet what their needs, to change their lives. See yourself as the house of God. He wants to walk into that hospital room with your feet. He wants to use your hands to lay your hands on those people and pray for them to see their lives changed and healings come about. He wants to use your mouth to speak love and blessing and healing to the people you meet everywhere. You are the temple of God, and you're not stationary. He gave us feet to walk, places to go to love people and to change lives. I want more. What do you want? Lord, we want more. Lord, we just cry out to you. Lord, we want more. And with you, we know we can do all things. We can overcome any problem in our life. We know that we qualify totally and completely. And Lord, we commit ourselves to live a holy life, to manifest your love, your holiness, your greatness, your righteousness, your truth through our lives to this world in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen, amen, amen. I want more. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I like that song we were singing this morning. When you walk into the room, darkness flees. When you walk into the room, sickness leaves, death flees, the dead are raised. That was such a great song. He wants to walk into rooms and people's lives in and through little old you and little old me. We all qualify. Bless you, saints. Well, let's stand.